From the heart of Europe to the world, RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Potbrad, with me, Eric Wiltshire, at the base of the Tatry Mountains, in minus something or other at the moment, I'll tell you in a sec, Lee Banks in the not-so-tepid part of Europe, and Mark Gander, co-founder of the Consumer Action Group. He's down at the tepid area of Europe.
I'm thinking of a bit of chilly tonight.
Do we groan now or later?
I'll groan with you. It was rubbish, wasn't it?
It was appalling.
It was appalling. I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry, everybody. That wasn't even cheap English humour.
No, it wasn't. It was just rubbish.
No, you have to give me £5 to laugh for that one.
All right, here's one. See if you can do this one.
Go on.
Snow White was in bed feeling sleepy.
Oh, no.
He got out, so she felt dopey instead.
This is meant to be a family show, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it is. It's got a nursery rhyme in it and a bit of Grimm's fairy tale.
No, it's a bit... I suppose, really, Mark, he's still in sort of pantomime mode.
Yes.
Being who he is, and that would be pantomime, wouldn't it?
What, the rear end of a donkey?
Yes, that's probably right. This programme is allegedly a sideways look at the news, so here we go. It's not...
Would you like to be in the front end of the donkey with Lee at the back end of you?
No.
Bending over like that?
No. No.
Very unpleasant thoughts.
Very, yes, very.
Especially he's going to pin the tail on the donkey, I tell you.
What about you, boys and girls?
No, he's over there. Now you can bank on unstoppable cyber attacks.
I wrote that headline and I don't understand it either.
It's been all over the place. And I've got to say, where have these guys been for ages?
Who?
People who write these stories.
Well, you see, you've got to tell the people about the things that are going on.
But we've done all that.
No, I think this is something new. I must say, I hadn't come across anything this sophisticated.
No, you don't even have to own it.
No,
you don't. The problem is here. Hang on. First of all, Lee, just give me the brief of the story. Two sentences.
Well, it's a new kind of cyber attack, and it's based on banking. So you get a thing about your banking, and you don't even have to open it. You don't have to open an attachment or download a PDF or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It just gets you.
Well, it can't do it from a plain text email.
No, well, I understand that it doesn't even need that. I understand that there are some viruses now which can get onto your computer.
You can
access your banking account, and while you're doing your business... It is in there making transfers to its own accounts, and it doesn't even show you the true balance and so forth in your account. Well, it sounds really, really nasty.
Yes,
nasty.
But you've got to log on to something.
Yes. Well, you log on to your bank account,
and at that point, make sure you've got your insurance, like you have when in your car before you drive it.
Mm.
And you're yes,
what a load of rubbish.
Why?
Because we're trying to inform the ladies and gentlemen of how I put that in the list.
Mm.
So you could explain to the ladies and gentlemen how they could beat it.
That's what I was just doing.
Get yourself insured.
That's what I was just doing. I was drawing a simile, Mr. Banks.
That was a silly simile.
Between driving a car and using a computer. You wouldn't drive your car without insurance.
Well, he does, because they both crash.
And you wouldn't use a computer without a proper firewall installed and up to date.
Yeah.
And is that the insurance? You don't mean get an insurance policy, like pay 50p a year?
No.
Sorry, there's the philosophy.
I mean, I think a better thing to say, for instance, is keep your inoculations up to date.
Well, that'll do as well,
Because you need your flu jabs. And this is the latest kind of flu that's coming around to a computer near you, mainly your one, which might want to steal your money. And this is just another very, very important reason to keep your Windows updates updated.
Yes.
And your virus programs updated.
And your browser.
And
Can I give an easier way than this?
Go on.
So quite seriously, don't use the internet for banking.
Well,
I don't use the internet for banking.
It's
so simple. Nobody can pinch my money because I haven't got any and I don't do it on the internet.
The trouble is, and certainly in England, there are lots and lots of places now where banks are closing down. Huge numbers of branches are closing down. There are lots of places in the countryside which don't have local banks. There are some people with basic accounts now who are not even allowed, for instance, to use their debit card in another bank without paying a huge amount of money.
Correct.
It's getting really tough. I'm very, very sorry. The entire banking industry is moving to a position where they're forcing you to use online services because they save huge amounts of money because they can make other people unemployed.
Correctamundo.
I agree with Lee's advice.
Don't have any money. Be a penniless writer like I am.
Yeah.
Give it away.
Which leads us nicely into the next one. But seriously, before we go, if you are doing online shopping, if you are doing online banking, please keep firewalls up to date. Don't use somebody else's computer. Don't think because you're on a Wi-Fi in the pub that's secure. Because
Especially bad.
No, that's a good point. That is a really good point.
Really, if you're using a Wi-Fi system in a pub or a bar or just a hotel even, and I'm sitting next to you, I could look inside your computer. So if I can do it, and I'm no expert on this, I promise you on hacking, I'm not an expert.
But he's always looking inside my computer, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, yes, absolutely.
I have to be careful.
And it's so true. It's very similar to the way that remote repairs are done by legitimate people, which we've all heard about and know it works. And Lee will guarantee it works because he's seen it working.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And the hackers do the same thing. And if you've got a proper firewall, if you've got proper antiviral things, and you can get them for free. You can actually get them for free and keep your Windows updated as well, then you'll be a lot safer. A lot safer. But taking the point about having no money, Lee.
Well, it's just one of those things. A lot of people don't believe how dire things are in Britain today. And I bang on about it. £8 for a gallon of petrol. You can't afford bread. £1.60 per loaf. Food you can't afford, your council tax you can't afford, everything is terrible. And this, to me, is the final shame of what's happened to the people of Britain. Bankruptcy, because of the new laws, isn't the best way to solve your financial problems, and nobody would ever suggest that. But it is a way that finally, ultimately, was open to you. And you know what's happening now? People can't go bankrupt because they cannot afford to pay the £700 fee to facilitate
that. £700, too. I didn't know this.
That's it. That's terrible. Dreadful. You've got to find. Well, you've got no
can
money.
Can I just
you've
ask a question then?
Yeah, of course you can.
If you haven't got the money and you don't pay people, therefore you have technically gone bankrupt.
Yeah.
What happens then? Does somebody else file a piece of paper and they make you bankrupt?
I think the main reason for you declaring yourself bankrupt, and a lot of people do abuse it in Britain and probably across the world where it's operated in the same way. But I think it has a certain amount of dignity to it. It's the fact that you've held your hands up and say, look, I'm in trouble, I've done my best, and I've lost. Whereas if somebody else forces you into bankruptcy, that's a very great stigma. And also you can lose a damn sight more.
Probably, you can. But I would say, and I've only got this second hand because I know a lovely man who was.
We've all got a second hand.
Who was forced to go bankrupt through a business partner who let him down. And he's such a genuine guy that, you know, when you get the story, you start to think, yeah, right, but you know the person in question. And it just all rings true. And he told me that at the point where he was made bankrupt, he was sitting in kind of the judge or whatever it is at that point. And he made him stand up and empty his pockets.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I can understand that.
You know, the indignity of that. He said was the worst bit of all. It wasn't the fact of not being able to have a bank account with more £250 or whatever it is and so on and so forth. But it was just, that was the bit that he will never, ever forget. But as you say, or hinted, it could be a solution because he said from that he never wants to go through that again. And therefore makes his business decisions now. And he's actually quite a successful businessman. He makes the decisions now with slightly more thought than he did in the past.
Yeah. I think that's right, and I think a lot of people get ashamed of the fact that, say, you know, like...
Well, in America, it's no shame. Come on, guys, in the US, going bankrupt's not a crime, it's almost a...
It's like a badge of honour.
It's a statutory requirement.
Yeah, it is, but in Britain, it's seen, you know, if you lose your job over here, it's still seen that, you're particularly by the benefits system, that you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And in this kind of climate, you know... People shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that they've lost the job or they've lost a business or things like that. It's just something that happens, and it isn't, unless it is your fault, generally, it isn't your fault. And you've just got to get on with it. And to go bankrupt, so it can be abused. I know a chap here, I'm not going to mention his name, obviously, but he had a business which it ran up, I think it was £280,000 worth of debt. Yes. And he went personally bankrupt. And to be honest, because he's a good lad, like you say about your mate and everything, I think it was 3 years later, he's now set himself up with another small business. I'm not sure if he's, you know, actually got the full title of that business, but he's now operating as part of a business, and he's doing very well for himself. But if he'd had to carry that debt with him, he wouldn't have done very well at all. And also, remember, people, if you think that you should go bankrupt, there are certain debts you won't get away with.
Yeah, exactly. You still end up paying them in the long term. Yeah. I'm sure the next story is going to make Uncle Lee terribly happy, although I'm going to drive buckets through it in a minute.
Which one?
Google is
that one?
changing the enable per country blog takedowns. Now, if that isn't techno babble, I don't know what is.
I did not write that headline. No, I can't understand that one either.
That's techno babble. It basically means that bloggers using the blogger system can have their sites blocked on a per country basis after a bit of a change that's gone on. And people are suggesting, and I've seen journalists do it as well today, after changes to the web address system. I'll tell you why that's funny in a minute. Google will now be able to block access to individual countries following legal removal requests. Can I just tell everybody as we go through this story that what it means simply is that if you get some completely illicit writings on a blog that says Lee's been in prison for murder 20 times, which is obviously not true... It's actually 19. You can go and get a legal requirement to block it out, as you would do if a newspaper got it all wrong. You'd make them apologise and take the story away, da-di-da-di-da. So Google's blogger system is going to be the same. And there is a strong suggestion that whilst the changes are currently in Australia, New Zealand and India, it's going to be rolled out globally as well, meaning that if somebody puts something bad about someone on a blogger system, they can go to and get a court order and it can be shut down. However, they've been doing it for ages.
Yeah.
Google...
I can't really argue against this because I know that as well, and I think this is... It is a good thing.
No, but this is pathetic.
Why?
The fact is, Google owns Blogger.
Yeah.
Google also owns YouTube.
Yeah.
And for a very long time, and they've done regularly, Mr. YouTube, namely Google, has blocked access certain videos in certain countries.
Yeah, you're right.
Or otherwise allowed them somewhere and not others. And I've got written evidence of this.
It is absolutely 100% right, yeah.
Yeah. So if they could do it all, what are they on about? Change to the web address system.
I suppose, well, basically, I don't understand the technicalities of the change to the web address system. But in simple terms, I would imagine that this is something that's come up now. And that thing that they could do on YouTube is now being extended into different areas of the internet thing.
Interwebby thing. But you see, this is where it gets me every time. And I'm not suggesting anybody should do this. But if you were to use...
If you were to use the...
P word.
Which word?
The P word, which describes adult entertainment.
Porn?
Don't you despair, Mark?
Well, I wasn't sure that was the word, I have to say, but...
That's the word. That's the word.
Right, okay.
That's the word.
What's wrong with the porn word?
Well, if you put adult with that word into Google, It doesn't bring you any references up.
Doesn't it really?
No.
How do you know?
Because it was
in... How do you know?
Because it's part of what is known as Google News.
It's part of what you have a go at.
Very good. All right. And this has been going on for a long, long time. Equally, Google can actually strip things out of their search
tool. Just a minute. I'm sorry. I've got to go back on this. What? So you're saying that if I put porn into the thing now, it won't bring up anything to do with porn?
No. No, that's not what I meant.
Oh, go on then.
If you were to use that term with stuff...
Oh. Yeah.
Which I can't say on the wireless, because it is a family show. You won't get a website coming up describing parts of a young lady's anatomy like you used to do.
Oh, right. All right. Really?
Yeah, that's because it did come up like that. There were so many complaints about it.
Yeah.
And it did get to such a level that if you want to put in, for example... Mark Gander, Lee Banks, Eric Wiltshire, in the search tool.
Trialism?
It will start to bring you up offerings before you even finish the words.
Yeah.
That's right, it does. Yeah. So you're saying that really porn doesn't necessarily now bring up porn?
No.
That's amazing.
And
why are we so ashamed of porn?
I don't
know. It's only doing what comes naturally.
Well, there is that too.
Well, I tell you, I hate to say it, I put in porn Lee Banks, and it's come up number one, postcard from Bob Pratt.
Yeah, that's because it's got Lee Banks.
No, it's just because of porn.
Oh, but it also says, to contact the show, porn adult contact April. The Whoops.
Anyway, you get the drift. Now, if Google...
And then later on it says Lee Spanks.
Yes, probably.
not often now.
Also, Google can remove from their search tool certain pieces of websites, and occasionally you will see at the bottom of a Google page that there are pieces missing from this page due to a legal request. And they actually say it on their search tools.
Really?
Yep. So it's down the bottom of the page, just after number 10. And if you see one of those, you go, interesting. And so Google have got this knowledge to do all these things.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering, and this is my point as a journalist coming out, if this whole thing hasn't been announced now just to sort of take the heat off of them for other problems that are in the background still.
Yeah.
Interesting point.
If you see what I mean.
But I just take this as a sort of step in the right direction for the control of the internet.
Me?
Hey? What?
How do you mean?
That was an intelligent point. What was wrong with that? That this is a point, this is a step in the right direction for controlling the content of the internet.
So you're into the, back to the self-regulation thing then?
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay.
I'm bored with this anyway. It's nothing to do with porn.
caution, if you're going on holiday, dear listener, if it is that you write something on Twitter, you might be banned from going in the US.
I think what this bloke said should have got him banned. The man's a... I'm not allowed to say the word.
Plonker.
That's what he is. A what, sir?
Plonker.
A twatter.
I was going to say D-I-C-K.
Well, plonker will do instead. But all right. But on the other side of the fence, there's often humour, and I'm rapidly trying to think of the bloke's name. Who?
Peter Ustinov.
No.
Did you hear about the Peter Ustinov story?
No.
Well, there we are. Well, I mean, this Twitter story is that this guy apparently tweeted, is basically saying that if he can't get into America, I think the airport being closed, if they don't open it, he's going to blow it to sky high to kingdom come or something like that. Mm-hmm. When he finally arrived there, the tweet had been sent to the security services and he was sent home. And it reminded me of the story of Peter Ustinov, who very, very amusing man, unfortunately dead now, who told a story, I think, of him in the 1960s when he arrived and he was saying how humorless they were there. And he had to fill in a form at the immigration in the United States. And it said, the question was, an amazing question, do you intend to carry out any terrorist attacks or make any challenge to the government of the United States of America? And Ustinov simply replied, sole purpose of visit! Exclamation mark.
The thing is, back then, you could get away with that.
Well, he was he didn't quite, because he was amazed that when he stepped on further, and apparently this official came out and said, excuse me, sir, would you step this way? And he was then detained for 2 hours while they questioned him about this.
But that's what I mean. Now you would just be totally turned away from it. You probably would be arrested, or you'd just be sent back.
Let me throw the other side of the coin in. There is a famous ventriloquist in America who has the puppet Ahmed the Suicide Bomber. Which is the most hysterical DVD you can ever buy in your life. And I highly recommend it.
What's his name?
I can't remember the actual guy's name, but it's Ahmed the Suicide Bomber. And it is there's little extracts on YouTube, and that prompted me to actually buy a DVD with real money. Because it's so funny.
Seamark, he has some, not like ordinary. Yeah.
And every
his
now
name,
and again.
By the way, is Jeff Dunham.
That's it, Jeff Dunham.
Dunham.
Thank you.
He's very quick on Google, isn't he, Arbor?
He's good at Googling. He's a Googler.
Two screens.
And every now and again, whilst he's in America, Ahmed says, and now it's got to the stage of being people are clapping and shouting and cheering when he does it, he goes, I kill you!
Now, I know it!
Right. Now, all I'm saying is that he's doing this in America, so that's the humour. Why can't the other people who are doing it for a bit of fun not be treated the same way?
I agree, but what this bloke said wasn't funny, was it? It didn't have any element of humour in it at all. He says he's got old people by digging up Marilyn Monroe. Well, that is really funny. That's a tumbleweed moment that's going to go right across his life, isn't it?
Yeah, but of course, I mean, Dunham is doing this in the States. He hasn't tried leaving and returning.
So our top suggestion to Jeff is not to go out of the US then.
That's right. You're stuck whether you like it or not.
On to slightly more serious matters. MPs in the UK have called for a pardon for the computer pioneer Alan Turing. And if you've not heard about Alan Turing, he was one of the geniuses that worked at Bletchley Park in World War II. And he was one of the team that actually cracked the Enigma code and thereby saved millions of people from harm across Europe. Unfortunately, in the 50s, it was still illegal to be gay.
That's right.
And homosexual acts were really frowned upon. And he was arrested for being gay and subsequently took his own life after the prosecution. And, you know, this guy didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't as if he was being naughty with children or something like that. He was just being gay.
Yeah, end of. That's right. And his name should be cleared.
Yes.
His name should be cleared because, once again, we're going right back to the beginning of the show. He did something good for this world. And the fact that he was gay has absolutely no bearing on it at all. Hmm. That was the way the world was then, and this is the way the world is now.
Yeah, but can I come in to say that I think there's a much, much bigger issue here. Okay, why are we calling for a pardon for computer pioneer Alan Turing? If they're going to call for a pardon, then I think they ought to be calling a pardon for every single individual who was ever prosecuted under these old-fashioned laws. And maybe they didn't commit suicide, but maybe their reputations were wrecked, their families were wrecked, their jobs wrecked.
That's
and they all ought to be pardoned. So forget Turing. Do the whole lot and let Turing maybe stand out as a symbol of them all, but pardon everybody.
Yeah, I think you've made a good point there, except that it was actually against the law. You know, you can't pardon everybody who was hanged for murder and things like that. Now it's no longer allowed.
All laws have always been good. I think one has to recognise that some laws were just absolutely wrong. I think we ought to admit it and we ought to pardon them.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that this bloke, they're looking to make this bloke a national hero, and maybe he should be a national hero. And
he's part not a hero of that of process, he's a hero for being a computer.
Finish. You've had your say.
Or more.
Question time all the time.
Children.
No, because I'm trying to agree with him and he won't listen.
Hang on. He wants to agree with me. Go on,
go on then. Sorry.
No, I'm not going to do it now. No, what I'm saying is he wants to be a national hero, right?
Huh?
And they want him to be a national hero, and quite rightly he should. And there was just a point that you made, Mark, that I think is quite right. And that is that he should become a figurehead for all the people who have been put in this position. And maybe ultimately there would be a move to change the attitude towards people who were done for Absolutely. Things like this. See, I agree with you, see?
All right, a couple more to go.
Dark slate clean for everybody.
A couple more stories.
Sir, he's called me another
story. I heard that. He's going to stand in the corner. He's going to stand in the corner.
I didn't say gob, I said gob.
Right, he's going to stand in the corner with a D on his head. Don't worry.
What a dick.
He's called himself a door handle.
Yes, exactly. Oh, talk about shock to the system. Eamon Holmes, who's a presenter on both Sky News in the mornings and also on an ITV, get this, daytime show in the morning, were a little bit upset, to say the least, when he asked a female sex addict...
Yeah.
Why she hadn't turned to prostitution on the morning show.
That was a bit below the belt, wasn't it, really?
Oh, I suppose that was funny as well, was it?
No, that was meant as nothing. That is just you being cheap-minded and awful. I didn't mean that at all.
Well, it was a pretty insolent, nasty question, I have to say.
God, not
it
off.
Was, well, was it really? Was it really? Why?
Yes.
Go on, explain. Why is that?
Well, you're going to have to do this really quick because you've got 2 minutes, gentlemen.
You have to assume that somebody who likes a lot of sex, you know, has a sort of certain kind of morality, whether it's a good or bad morality, that they want to actually start working for a living at it. I think it was really insolent and presumptuous.
Mm. I don't think it was insolent. I think, in a way, if somebody goes on... See, again, it's this thing, isn't it? It's this thing. If this person goes on television and brags about the fact that they need sex 5 or 6 times a day, I do as well, but I don't go on television and radio bragging about it, and they admit to, I've had 1,000 men, then why... What kind of person goes on and brags about that kind of thing? Of course they're opening themselves up to bizarre questions. Then you have to add on the revelation today, which is no major revelation, isn't a shocking thing, but this woman, who claims to have slept with more than 1,000 men, was actually a man up until 5 years ago.
Oh, was it?
Sex change. Yeah. So does she claim that she's slept with 1,000 men in the last 5 years?
Interesting. We rapidly just tell you this story. The police are beating me up. What did the man do? He called the police. An insurance worker rang 999, which is the emergencies number in the UK, from the back of a police car after officers roughed him up a bit, and he's been awarded £10,000 in damages. The innocent man, Thomas James from Cardiff, was wrongly arrested and bundled into a police van after taking his girlfriend to hospital. The whole thing got all completely messed up, and he was getting beaten up, and he phoned the emergency services. We like it indeed. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next week, boys and girls. That was Postcard from Poprad.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.